You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of TPC Saturday night. It is February the 18th. James Edwards and Keith Alexander back together again after last week's very special Valentine's Day show. Keith was out on the town, and as I put it, I was the only rooster in the hen house last week. I missed you badly, Keith, but I gotta say, what's not to like when you're surrounded by seven attractive, intelligent, wholesome women? It could have been a worse night.
Well, let me tell you. We're kind of like Pluto and Neptune. Our orbits cross every once in a while, I feel like. But it's I know you had family engagements and things like that to do. But I'm so glad that, I listen to the shows when I'm not on them. And it's good to do that, to get that perspective. And I tell you what, I really enjoyed the Valentine's Day show. It's a change of pace show, but it was really good.
Yes, it was. It was a change of pace show. It was a novelty show. It's something we do just once a year, and that was our annual installment for this year. But I always love getting those women together. They're fantastic. Was a little bit different, but also a message that very much needs to be heard. And so it was a lot of fun. And now we're back to our standard fare. It's been a great start to the year, and tonight will be no exception when we welcome back to the show for the first time in 2023, longtime contributor Brad Griffin, also a guy who's relatively new to our roster. He'll be making his third appearance tonight after having made his first two last fall. Columnist Jose Nino is back, and they're both going to be talking about continuing the conversation that we've had in recent weeks with Paul Craig Roberts and Mark Weber, respectively, about the chances of the Russo-Ukrainian conflict literally going nuclear. So we're going to get into all of that. But first, Keith, it's been a crazy week, you know. You and I don't get together for a week, and the news just really piles up. And, what's been going on? So, first of all, I think, the United States, according to mainstream or establishment news reports, shot down four UFOs last week. And these things are supposedly these cylindrical objects with no apparent propulsion system, and they're shooting them down. And then you never hear anything about it. Like, do they not capture these things to see what they are or where they came from? You hear another UFO got shot down today. And nothing. It's just the strangest thing. I'll tell you this, though.
Well, I'll give you my feeling on it in a capsule, in a little bullet, basically. The first one was really a spice device, and it had all sorts of markings on it and information that would lead you to believe that that really was a special thing. It's supposedly as big as two mobile homes or something, flying up there static together. So, it wasn't somebody's $10 balloon from Walmart that he,
Well, there was the Chinese balloon, but then there was these other things.
Yeah, well, that one I think really was something, and I think it was not an accident that they shot it down over the water. Now they say they can't recover, the payload on it. They didn't want to because we know that the Biden crime family has very special ties with China, and I imagine they didn't want that to come up and put them in a situation where they had to show that they were, really strong against China.
Well, I got to tell you, I was actually hoping it was aliens. I'd be rooting for the aliens. There's no way. There's no way the aliens would be more anti-white and be more opposed to my unique group interest than our own government. So maybe they'd come down and give us a little assist. But anyway,
just don't let a white dove loose. That's remember that attack on Mars.
Yeah, Mars attacks. That was a good one. So that's one thing. Let's see what else. Since you and I were last together
but
2 weeks ago.
I think the other two things were, or three things were just weather balloons or innocuous things. But it's just, it's no telling what's going on up there that we don't know about. And, we've sold out to the Chinese for a long time. You know, it goes back to the Clintons with allowing those Chinese scientists to be stationed at Los Alamos, and all of a sudden, China has our ICBM technology.
Well, again, would China be worse for us the current regime? I don't know. But what else has been going on since we were together 2 weeks ago tonight? You had to
Black
say
History
Canada.
Month.
Well, we're going to get to that later. I don't even have time for that right now. We are going to spend a little time on that later in the show. So gird your loins, folks. You had a satanic Grammy presentation televised, the Grammys, which were televised, pretty much an entire satanic ritual.
Whenever you ask yourself, can it get any worse, it gets worse.
Satanic Super Bowl halftime show. By the way, the Super Bowl, they had two different national anthems. They actually started with the Black national anthem. Now, no other country on earth lets competing racial groups have their own anthem before a sporting event. So but I wonder, though, if we're going to have separate anthems, can we have separate nations? I mean, maybe this is building towards something that we can actually get behind. What else? Keith, I mean, that's not even all. We had America's Chernobyl in the last 2 weeks. 1,700 trains derail every year in the United States, I came to find out. That seems like a lot, 1,700 trains derailing. But this one, of course, was carrying vinyl chloride, which is basically poisoned all of the red states, it would seem, or at least a large swath of the red states. And you have Pete Buttigieg, who is the transportation secretary. He has said nothing. You know what he said? He said nothing about this for almost 2 weeks. I mean, this is probably the biggest single chemical disaster in American history, right? I mean, it's got to be right up there. And he said nothing. He did finally give a speech, but it was how white construction workers were taking jobs from Black people.
Well, if you were really getting on the racial note, I imagine all of these derailments have something to do with affirmative action hiring on our railroad.
See, that's the thing. I mean, some people are saying it was done intentionally. I think it's probably just the typical third world incompetence that we're racing towards, but who's to say? It does seem as though that the people that are infected, that the people whose waterways have been affected by this or affected by this are well, mostly, you know, middle Americans, which isn't, you know, the support group of the regime.
Two related topics here that I want to cover. First of all, Biden and the Chinese, and then Buttigieg and the Palestine, Ohio derailment. Basically, it's Marshall McLuhan. The medium is a message. If you control the medium, you control the message. Likewise, if you control the medium, you also control what is the non-message. I'm sure that we've had all sorts of balloons and other aircraft flying over the United States from China for time in memoriam, but we never hear about it because they don't want you to hear about it. You know, why is Biden doing something like sending off of, you know, half of our oil reserves to China out of the blue, things like that? And then Buttigieg, he just ignores the biggest issue that he, as the Secretary of Transportation, has had cross his desk. And he says nothing about it. It doesn't exist because, again, it doesn't fit the media narrative of the regime.
I got it right here. So, oh, just a teaser. We'll talk more about it later. We'll get back to this train derailing. But first, we've got to take a quick departure. We've got to get to Brad Griffin. Brad Griffin is standing on deck. We've got to move to foreign policy. We will come back with this rail derailment a little later on in the program. So more to come on that. More to come first with Brad. Stay tuned.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
As I said, folks, at the top of the show, a lot of weird stuff going on out there. UFOs falling from the sky, trains derailing, chemical spills, so much more. We're going to get back to some of that later on in the broadcast. But first, we'd like to welcome back for the first time this year. He's a regular contributor and commentator on this program. But for the first time in 2023, no less, but certainly not the last, Brad Griffin is back, the editor-in-chief of Occidental Dissent. And he's going to be talking to us about why the issue of foreign policy vis-a-vis Russia and Ukraine may tip the scale back into Trump's favor, even after all we've been through in the last eight or so years in the Trump era. First, Brad, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, James.
I can't wait to get into this because you've written some very interesting things at OD, and I'm going to serve them up to you and have you respond. You wrote a few days ago, Donald Trump is trying to win me back, and there was an excerpt from an establishment news article which reads, Donald Trump is settling on a simple foreign policy pitch in his second bid for the White House. Want World War III? Vote for the other guy. You responded, Brad, by writing, I would never vote for someone like Nikki Haley, who, of course, just announced, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence, or Lindsey Graham because of my isolationist views on foreign policy. Donald Trump did empower all of these Reaganites in various ways in his administration, and I was furious about it at the time. It could have been a lot worse, though, with this faction of the Republican Party actually at the helm in the White House. The case for Trump in 2024 is that his foreign policy record looks a lot better in retrospect. Trump didn't start a war with Russia and spend $100 billion on it. This issue wasn't even on the table in the 2020 election. Mike Pence, Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, John Haley, and the rest of them would continue to stand with Ukraine and fund the war and continue Biden's foreign policy. So, Brad, as we know, Trump made foreign policy blunders, but he didn't do this. World War III with Russia, as you mentioned, that wasn't even something that was talked about with Biden during those debates, but it is now, and I mean it really is. Who would have thought, you wrote 2 years ago, that we'd be spiraling into a hot war with Russia? So is it enough? This is the question, Brad. Is that single issue enough? Immigration will be a big one, yes, but is that issue enough to get you, a man who has been calling Donald Trump dump since about 2018, is that enough to get you back on board as a voter next year?
I don't know at this point. I don't know, but that is literally the strongest card he has right now, and the card he's obviously already playing is the Ukraine card. I mean, Trump can legitimately say that. Our foreign policy with Russia was far from ideal when he was president, but it was nothing, needless to say, it was nothing this crazy. And I really do think in retrospect that, underestimated, to say the least, how bad Joe Biden could be on foreign policy. And compared to his rivals for the Republican nomination, this might, seal the deal for him. This might be the issue that locks it up for him.
Well, so, yes, that plus immigration, that's something that we're going to have to take a look at, because who would have thought that, as you said, it would have come to this, your worst nightmare. Nobody's thinking nuclear war with Russia, which is a very real possibility. So I was saying at the beginning of the program, we've had very recently some expert, really superb analysis on this topic with Paul Craig Roberts and Mark Weber. And it's not hyperbole to think that it could get it could go nuclear. Keith, let's bring you on. Let's get you mic'd up here and let you say hello to Brad. Go.
Yeah, hello, Brad. Let me say this.
Hey, Keith.
At least Trump, good to see you again. Trump at least said that he wanted to improve foreign relations with Russia. I've never heard Biden say that. Biden, I'm convinced, is just an automaton. He says whatever the brain trust of the Democratic Party wants him to say. And getting into this war is, you know, nobody could have foreseen this. You didn't foresee it. We didn't foresee it. But it is spiraling out of control, and it's obvious that the people that want this war are not going to accept defeat. They're going to ramp it up if they start losing big. You know, we're hearing all sorts of false reports from the Western media about how Russia's getting their tail whipped, and nobody believes it because it's not true. And, you know, I think what we need to worry about with Trump is like what happened in the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Back then, the South decided that Stephen Douglas was weak tea. We didn't think we were being represented properly by him, so we had two Southerners from Tennessee, John Bell and John Breckinridge, jump in as third-party candidates, and that's what swung the election to Trump, I mean to Lincoln.
Lincoln.
And then we found out just how bad Lincoln could be, you know, with the Morrell tariff and things like that. So consequently,
yeah,
that's what's happened with Biden. You know, I voted for Trump, held my nose. I felt a lot like you did. I know you said you didn't vote for him, but I could not have imagined how bad Biden was going to be. But lo and behold.
It's interesting. So I voted for Trump both times, and Brad voted for him 50% of the time. Sam Bushman, our good friend, voted for him 0%. And so he voted, you know, the Constitution Party way. So, I mean, there was a great consensus, I think, for the most part in 2016. Obviously, the coalition crumbled before 2020. But now here we are. I mean, this Trump would say something about protecting the Confederate bases. He would, the names on the Confederate, on the military bases named after Confederates. Praise Robert E. Lee, do the thing he did after Charlottesville. And then it was just back and forth like a ping pong. But here we are again, being drawn back into the orbit. And it's hard to argue against it because, again, going back to Brad's writing, Brad, you wrote, in the 2020 election, I was so angry and blackpilled on Trump that I wouldn't even consider voting for him. Even as the lesser of two evils. Now I have changed my mind because of how the Biden presidency has played out. Trump can now say he kept us out of war with Russia. He got rid of Roe versus Wade. He also didn't set out to erase the Mexican border. Trump's first term was largely a failure, but his goals were different. He wasn't trying to dismantle immigration enforcement or start World War III. The other guys are, and it's amazing that it's come to this. Now, you also bring up Ron DeSantis. Okay, so that's a variable out there. Ron DeSantis, who hasn't announced yet, would be obviously the most likely and probably the only threat to Trump winning the nomination. But he has had very little to say about this particular
the silence is deafening, as I say.
Issue, which is going to be maybe the top issue next year. He hasn't said anything about Biden's insane foreign policy of standing with Ukraine. Well, you want to hear what top Gov DeSantis has to say about it. We already know that he's at least as big of a Zionist as Trump. But he needs to chime in on this policy.
Well, you know, if he's going to be a serious candidate for president, he needs to, you know, stand up and be counted. And if not, you know, what's the Marine Corps motto, lead, follow, or get out of the way?
What do you think is going on there with him, Brad?
Well, I mean, that's the issue. The Republican Party is bitterly divided over Ukraine policy. As I predicted last year, I mean, support has been declining for the standing with Ukraine, endless amounts of money, endless amounts of weapons flowing into Ukraine. And ever since the omnibus bill, it's, you know, tipped. And then there was a new poll out the other day. I think it was one of the last things I wrote about. And it was pretty dramatic. Now it's like a 60-40 split against sending weapons to Ukraine. And the thing is if DeSantis ran for president, first of all, Trump's base, for at least 40% of the Republican Party electorate, Trump's wing of it is adamantly against this war in Ukraine. And to the point where at least 40% of the Republican Party would be willing to have Ukraine make territorial concessions to end the war. The priority is on ending the war immediately. Now, if DeSantis ran for president, he would have to consolidate. In theory, he would have to consolidate the Reaganite wing, and then win over some degree of persuadable Trump supporters. But DeSantis is caught between a rock and a hard spot. You know, if he comes out, pro Ukraine, he's gonna just pave the way for Trump's renomination. And if he comes out, against standing with Ukraine in order to appeal to Trump's people, he'll probably end up losing them too, and create an opening for a Nikki Haley type, who's going to run more aggressively. So it's just pure politics with him.
I am going to talk to you a little later this hour before you leave about Nikki Haley running for president. She's the only other announced Republican so far, right?
That's right, and she's the one I've announced that if
Scaly Haley, we got a new nickname for her.
Well, Nikki Hokey, the old but anyway, whatever it is, she is, if she is Trump's running mate, that's the only condition under which I will not vote for Trump.
I don't think he would do that.
No chance.
Now, there's been some way too early rumors, like when they start picking the favorite for the Super Bowl the minute after the Super Bowl ends for next year. Some people have been saying Marjorie Taylor Greene, anyway, as a running mate, potentially for Trump. A lot more with Brad Griffin. Always love to talk to Brad Griffin, almost as much as I love reading Brad Griffin, which I do every day at OccidentalDescent.com. You should, too. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. North Korea's saber rattling started back up Friday. The Democratic People's Republic of Korea threatened to take unprecedentedly strong action against South Korea and the USA soon after South Korea announced a series of planned military drills with the United States to counter North Korea's increasing nuclear threats. The North Korean foreign minister called South Korea and the United States the arch criminals deliberately disrupting regional peace and stability. A judge released parts of a special grand jury report saying unidentified witnesses might have lied to jurors investigating former President Trump and the 2020 election in Georgia. The grand jury recommends that the district attorney seek appropriate indictments for such crimes if evidence is discovered. Trump claims total exoneration after the Georgia grand jury report was released on Thursday. 12-year-old Elijah Jordan Brown Garcia was at football practice playing with his younger brother's team when he collapsed and died.
He didn't deserve this. He was a good kid.
The boy's mother, Raven Brown, said it took an ambulance more than a half an hour to respond.
He had so much further to go. He had so much more time. He was supposed to be here.
She added, the coach isn't CPR certified and ran an errand at the time of the incident. Elijah's brother, Makai, was there.
He didn't get hit, like no contact or anything. He ran about like 20 yards.
New Jersey requires defibrillators at school-related events, but not independent recreational activities. I'm Victoria Idoni.
Consumer advocate Aaron Brockovich advised residents of East Palestine, Ohio, to believe their own instincts, as state officials claim there's no longer any air or water hazards from the train crash that burned toxic chemicals. Republican Governor Mike Devine.
That water certainly can be consumed.
This is USA News.
Shaquille O'Neal here. If you battle back or hip pain or knee or shoulder pain, you don't have to tough it out. You can just turn it off with Smart Relief from Icy Hot. You just push a button and whoosh. Smart Relief sends waves of relaxing pulses that safely block pain at the nerve level. It's simple, easy to use, and it's been clinically tested to start providing immediate relief for hours, even after you turn it off. So if you're battling pain, let Icy Hot help you win that battle. Turn on Smart Relief and turn off pain.
Use only as directed.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs. You used to associate crickets with silence. But since you bought a house in the suburbs, you know crickets hate silence. If any other creature realized rubbing its legs together made a piercing, high-pitched noise, they might think, maybe I won't do that. Constantly. All night long. Luckily, you can save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto. Now that's something to make noise about. Just not constantly. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Back with Brad Griffin, editor-in-chief of Occidental Descent, OccidentalDescent.com. I'm there every day. Keith, how many times a day are you there?
Three or four.
Sometimes you have to be to keep
up
with the
running.
Well,
I know you have to keep up. I know it's been a little bit slow lately, but, you know, Brad's running a one-man show over there, and it's amazing to me how much new content he puts on there in a regular
And it's
day.
All interesting. I mean, I do read just about, if not every single blog post, and he's been doing it as long as we have, so a lot of tenure over there, and it's just great stuff.
He's a busy beaver.
He's been writing about Trump and foreign policy and how the foreign policy issue may be something that propels Trump back to the head of the pack in the presidential pecking order coming up next
year. Well,
it
will certainly distinguish him from the crowd, because the crowd just doesn't want to take a position on anything.
Well,
and, you know, it used to be that the Democrats were the peacenicks and the Republicans were the war hawks. Nobody wants to be the peacenick anymore.
But it's an issue, and Brad touched on this in the last segment. It's an issue, though, that is a winning issue with Republican voters. Let's go back to what Brad wrote, and then
some
Republican one of the things. Well, I mean, what are you going to say? 63%. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you. A recent NBC News poll showcased that 63% of Republicans surveyed directly opposed providing more funding and weapons to Ukraine. 63-37%, that's a landslide winning issue to get behind not funding the war in Ukraine. Now, Brad, you wrote MIGA, which was the Make Israel Great Again movement that so many people said Trump was the leader of, is
really
nothing
though
compared to the Make Ukraine Great Again caucus. Israel gets about 3.8
billion. They seem to be related, though.
Israel gets about $3.8 billion a year in foreign aid. We've given Israel, you write, a total of around $150 billion over the course of several generations. You continue, Brad, by writing, we've already given Ukraine over $100 billion in less than a year, in all caps. So let's talk about that, Brad.
But who's running
Ukraine?
And the fact
that Trump is at least criticizing Biden on this. And again, going back to DeSantis, he hasn't done that, at least not yet.
I mean that's how insane it is. Over $100 billion a year. And what I woke up to this morning is I heard that you know how they passed I forget how much was it. Was it 40, 50, 60 billion they passed in the omnibus? At the rate Ukraine is going now, they're going to run out of ammunition before the summer. That's how insane it is. And they'll be back asking for more. One thing I will caution about, like, how this could determine the whole landscape. I think the first primaries don't start until, what, a year from now? Was it next February?
Right. Yeah, something like
that. Voting starts. So I mean, for all we know, it might wind down in between, like, now and next year. Maybe Russia decisively wins. Maybe there's Ukraine doesn't get funded again, and there's some kind of stalemate that could take the issue away. But, like, as of things stand right now, I mean, it looks like the choice is going to be Trump, Joe Biden, and DeSantis. And then of those two, the only option that, you know, is offering an off-ramp for this is Trump. Do you agree?
I would think DeSantis so. At least he's the only one that has come up with – he's not in the amen chorus with the other, you know.
He was good.
Democrats and Republicans, generally, the mainstream people are all for Ukraine, whatever Ukraine wants. And they're not about to make our so-called NATO allies contribute a red cent to it.
Well, I mean, NATO is basically run by Washington. But the thing is, gentlemen, you will remember that while immigration was the primary reason Trump won in 2016, he was very big early and consistently on opposing the Bush-era neocon foreign policy as well. So this is an issue that he has been pretty good on the whole way.
That's what both Paul Craig Roberts and Mark Weber said, that this is basically just an extension of the Wolfowitz doctrine from the mid-90s. you know, that and that's what Trump has said, has criticized since he came down the escalator.
So what's stopping, in your opinion, Brad DeSantis from getting behind this if it's truly a and this is NBC News poll, 63-37 mm-hmm. Republicans in, against continuing the involvement that our Congress has had in aiding and abetting the puppet Zelensky. I mean, that's why wouldn't he want to get behind a winning issue like that?
I think DeSantis is smart. He knows that if he runs in the primary, that he's going to have to consolidate all of the whole wing that's, you know, Trump skeptical, Trump opponents, all the people who are like, you know, traditional Republican neocon type people. That's his so-called lane. I think DeSantis is being smart, and he's not taking a stand on the issue because he wants to see, like, you know, I think he'll follow the crowd. I mean, if the party turns so decisively against Ukraine, then he'll have to follow the crowd. And then, of course, the issue might resolve itself by the time it might resolve itself over the next year before the primaries even start. And so he doesn't want to give Trump ammunition to beat him over the head with. So
it's also a matter of what crowd you follow, Brad, because the rank and file Republicans are one thing and the donor class is another, and that's what he goes with. And I think that one explanation for DeSantis' behavior is that he seems to be even more slavishly devoted to Jewish power and influence than Trump, if that is possible.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
But at least totally as much.
And he knows that they are basically joined at the hip with Ukraine. They are behind Ukraine going to war against Russia for all intents and purposes, in my opinion.
Yeah, there was a new poll that came out I heard referenced this morning. I hadn't got to cover it, but over 50% of Republican voters said that if someone who was running for president in 2024 wanted to continue to send arms to Ukraine, that would make them less likely to vote for that person. So it's already a toxic issue for the stand with Ukraine crowd, and it's becoming even more so. So
and if Trump's the only one that's going to stand with the Republican base on the issue, that's going to give him a pretty big leg up, it would appear. So here's where we stand right now. Again, going back to Brad's excellent writing at OccidentalDissent.com, Brad, you're right. I think people like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene are goofy, but I would rather have that faction in charge of the House, or at least empowered, than the insane Russia Gators who started this. We now have the House. Kevin McCarthy is a weak speaker. The war in Ukraine is becoming more and more unpopular. When the money runs out and it's time to stand with Ukraine, quote-unquote, again this summer, you just mentioned that's when the latest tens of billions will run out, we will have a shot at putting an end to this, especially if support for the war continues to erode and become polarized. Apparently, Brad, you write, Joe Biden pledged again during his State of the Union address to stand with Ukraine for as long as it takes. He has the unwavering support of 80% of Democrat voters. Remember, 63% of Republicans are opposed to this. 80% of Democrats are for it. And 100% of elected Democrats in Congress on the issue. So,
and then again, that also shows this. If you come out against the war, you may win the Republican primary, but lose the general election.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know about that, but you conclude, Brad, by writing, so if you support our current foreign policy of unlimited spending and escalation into war with Russia, no matter the cost, Joe Biden is your man. Trump's response was correct. Now, we're coming up on a break, so I want you to go ahead and start answering this, and if we have to carry over into the next segment, we can do that. Joe Biden gave his State of the Union address a few days ago. Trump gave a response that he posted as a video. Can you break down those two dueling addresses and what the messages were?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I didn't really watch much of Joe Biden's State of the Union address. He just
not
got
that
up there. And,
I didn't either. Did you?
Yeah, Keith? I'm not. I posted it for the people who wanted the torture. I just saw a clip. It is like staring with Ukraine. And like, I'm not going to even bother to rewatch this.
Listening to Joe Biden is like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer. It feels so good.
Yeah,
Biden was reading the speech that was written for him to recite. So, okay, what did Trump say? We'll go to that.
I mean, Trump pretty much, nailed it. You got, you know, the economy, you got like record inflation, you got record crime, you got the border has been totally erased. You got on the precipice of World War III. The average person is poor. You've had the highest gas prices, and I mean, a lot of the greatest hits that was covered in the midterms, the greatest hits of the Joe Biden administration. Joe Biden has one of the worst ratings on the economy of any president in 50 years, I want to say. But the average American thinks, feels they're poor and worse off under Joe Biden. But like, all that speaks for itself. So, I mean, everything Trump said there, especially being on the verge of World War III, is absolutely on target. In fact, that's another variable. I mean, in between now and the primary, there's a very real possibility that Joe Biden could actually get us into the war with Russia. So, like, we got to remember here before the primary starts, there's a real chance that we might actually be in the hot war. Like, something might happen.
That's the thing. I mean, Charles Lindbergh was very popular. He was always right, but he was very popular until America committed to the war. And then it does kind of change
ditto
things.
For Henry Ford.
Well, so that's it. You know what? We'll come back with that. What are the odds that we are in boots on the ground or even a nuclear war? I don't know how long a nuclear war would last before the next primary. We'll be right back
in
with Brad Griffin.
One, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com. All right, everybody, welcome back. Always great to have with us Brad Griffin. And as I mentioned before, we are continuing the conversation. This, to me, is the big issue going on in the world right now. I mean, it's been a big issue since its onset, right at a year ago now, is when this whole thing kicked off hot with Russia and Ukraine. It had been simmering, of course, for a long, long time. And had its origins in the Color Revolution of 2014. But about a year ago now, Russia went hot on this. And as I mentioned, Paul Craig Roberts, the former Assistant Secretary of the United States Treasury and erstwhile Associate Editor of the Wall Street Journal, he was on with us just a couple of weeks ago talking about this. And he made mention, of course, of the fact that I don't know how they exactly calculate this, but the doomsday clock to nuclear war is set at 90 seconds before midnight. So that back to you, Brad. We were talking about the State of the Union address that was written for Biden to recite and Trump's reaction to it. And Trump is singing the right tune right now. But what are the odds that this thing continues to spiral out of control before he can run again and maybe add some sense to the issue? I mean, what are the odds that this thing just really goes south before next year?
Well, I mean, look at it this way. I mean, last week we were wondering, the whole country was wondering if we were on the verge of war with aliens because of the objects, the objects that were shot down. It turns out, I haven't written about anything about this, but apparently I heard that one of the objects that Joe Biden shot down was a National Weather Center service balloon. So like a literal balloon or something that like tracks the weather. It's like not Chinese or... That's what I heard. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I mean, that just goes to show you how trigger happy and not exactly in control of the situation this is. And who knows how it could escalate. I mean, could they set up another Gulf of Tonkin style sure. incident to bring us into the war? I mean, this is a possibility that we could actually be in the war by the time the primary starts, and then it'll be like all, you know, you're a Russia supporter.
Rally around the flag.
Yeah, you're a traitor. That if gets... you don't support the traitors who got us into a war with Russia, that was entirely avoidable.
Yeah. I mean, I can easily see it going that route. What are the odds?
I get the feeling, Brad. I was going to say, I get the feeling that I'm in a barrel floating down a river and I hear Niagara Falls in the distance, you know?
And no way to avoid it. So what do you think, Brad?
Yeah, even desperate enough to maybe Trump can come back because he doesn't want to start World War III with Russia. That's an astounding position that it would have just blown me away if you'd have told me that in the fall of 2020.
I mean, we can't say it enough. I mean, but this is it. This is what makes, I think, life and politics and everything about the human experience so interesting is you just never know.
Yeah, what's a Chinese curse? May you live in interesting times? We certainly do.
Brad,
so
you were talking earlier.
China too.
Well, I tell you,
and North Korea.
If you want to be at war with the world, vote for somebody like Nikki Haley now, I got to say, and I think you would agree, Brad, that you were talking in the last segment about the potential lane that Ron DeSantis might have to take in order to get to the Republican nomination. But what lane is there for Nikki Haley? I watched her little short video that was promoting her announcement. And what I heard was she was running for president because, and you should support her, because she's a woman, a minority. She parroted some neocon talking points and celebrated the cultural genocide after the Charleston church shooting of her removal of our customs and symbols in South Carolina. What kind of path is there for her in 2023 with the Republican base as it's currently constituted?
I mean, the only plausible case I heard from Nikki Haley, the longest of long shots, is that maybe Trump and DeSantis so destroy each other that someone else, you know, emerges from the ruins, but I can't see that.
It's like the Siamese fighting fish thing where the two biggest fish fight each other and the weak one looks out there and waits for one to kill the other, and the other one is so weak, and then she can go in and get
it. I don't think anybody's going to be weak enough to be beaten by Nikki Haley. Not now. You've talked so much about this, and I've gotten so many talking points for this show. I think even when, Brad, you're not on the show and you're on with us, a handful of times a year, 5-6 times a year maybe, and it's always great, but I think the majority of the shows we do, I cite something, a poll that you've cited, something that I picked up from you over at OD.
Yeah.
So we mention you a lot even when you're not on, but you had written that and so much of what you've written.
Like Willie Nelson said, you're always on our mind.
One of the things you pointed out so frequently the last couple of years at OD is how much the Republican base has changed. You said Nikki Haley might have been somebody that Republican voters would have been interested in 2012. Talk about that, how much the Republican base has radicalized to our way of thinking, and I use that term affectionately, in the last 10 years. That's a short time, really, for the amount of change that has gone on with the Republican base.
Yeah, I mean, one huge part of it is just sheer generational change in that, like, over the last 10, 20 years, people like you have gone from being our 20s and 30s to our 40s. So, there were a lot more older Reaganite sort of voters 10 years ago than there are today. So that's one part of it. You know, me and you were in middle age in the prime of our lives, and we got to get to the point where our views are aging into the mainstream, because it's always voters are always older than the electorate in general.
Well, the other part of that paradigm, though, Brad, is this: the left has gone hog wild and pig crazy. I mean, there's no subtlety anymore. They've just gone bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. To the point now, we'll mention this in the next hour. You've mentioned this, too, and so have our friends at the nationalconservative.com. It's got to the point now where no less than 20, this is amazing, 20 out of the 50 state attorney generals have co-signed a letter denouncing the Southern Poverty Law Center as utterly discredited. So I think there is a great resorting of the... This is something that was unimaginable.
The new Confederacy is coalescing.
Right.
Let's hope so.
A lot of the more, you know, the kind of Republicans who were like, you know, I want my taxes low and I don't like these culture war issues and I want to go along with the mainstream on race and culture and gender. A lot of those types, you know, they joined the Never Trump movement and then that completely imploded. And, now they're like moderate, they've shifted over to the Democrats, I would say. That's why you see people like, you know, David Frum over there, Bill Kristol, those type of people. Insofar there's a constituency for that in the suburbs, a lot of that has just shifted over to the Democrats. So I think Nikki Haley, I guess she could run as a Democrat, but she'd be unpopular.
The problem with that, though, Brad, is this. The left has gone full tilt to the left. They've thrown caution to the wind. Now sexual depravity is a civil right. I think that there are a lot of people that don't want to be part of the Democrats because they see where the Democrats is leading America. They basically are hoping for a restoration of George W. Bush, maybe. I don't know what.
It is true that the left has gone so far off the rails that they've done more to bolster our ranks than any of us ever could. That is just an absolute fact. But let's talk about how this, you know, again, Brad, you call it the big sort at OD this week, how there's just an exodus from these blue states of people moving down to the red states, especially the old Confederacy. And I don't know if it's for income, you know, tax-related benefits or the cost of living is so much cheaper, or if it's people that are moving for ideological reasons. But it does seem as though the blue states are getting bluer and the red states are getting redder. And at some point, there's going to have to be some sort of a reckoning, right?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, we always knew that Florida was one of the huge reasons why Florida became such a solid red state was due to this migration. But I was kind of shocked to see that when that thing came out about over the last year, and I think every single of the top, there wasn't of the top 10 growing states, not a single one of them was a blue state. And it's the blue states that are losing population. People leave it. Even nice places like Colorado, not like your Illinois or New York or, you know, your usual suspects. People leaving because it's just terrible services, terrible climate. But even places like Colorado are losing population. So a lot of it is just, I think a lot of it was COVID. A lot of conservatives who lived in these blue states just said that was the final straw. And it's really accelerated over the last 2 years. Now, of course, a lot of it is, you know, just liberals, you know, destroying their states and moving on to the next host, like it's happened in Arizona and Nevada and increasingly up in places like Montana.
You talk, though, about, you see, that was my concern. Or is it just liberals leaving these states to go to a state that has a better cost of living, and they're taking their failed ideologies with them? But Florida would suggest that that's not necessarily the case. Florida has had a population boom, and it's only gotten more red, right, Brad?
Yeah. One thing I've noticed is that people from the heartland area, from, you know, the Midwest, have always loved Florida. So a lot of them have always wanted to get down there, like my brother-in-law.
There are a lot of people that like the semi-tropical climate down there, but you also touched on what is my greatest fear, is that we're going to get all these people down here that want to be normicons, and they want to preserve the civil rights movement and all this, and that's like leaving, you know, the cancerous tumors, you know, root alive while cutting away the other stuff.
I think, though, Keith, I think it's not that. We got about a minute with Brad left. I think it's people who just so happen to have been born in blue states but think like us that are moving. Because if you look at the Republican electorate overall, Brad, you're talking about in some cases on issues directly pertaining to race and faith and identity. You're talking about in some questions 70-80% of the respondents responding in a way that we would respond. And
if black people behaving badly will set them off, they certainly have been set off in the past Biden administration.
That's right. Well, the last two or three years has really been where all of this has skyrocketed in terms of these polls. So anyway, Brad, keep up the great work. We love you. Best to you and Renee and your son. And we will talk again soon and hope to see you soon as well. Brad Griffin, OccidentalDescent.com.
Thank you.
One of our very favorites. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.